Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I want to be with you night and day, every day.
Yeah, just as well, Acast haven't recently sent round an email talking about copyrighted music.
That's all right, you can sing it, I think.
That seemed to come around within days of them saying they were going as a public company on the stock exchange.
I guess so. Look,
that was a bit of legal
tits
advice
and
they'd
teeth,
had,
babe. Yeah, definitely.
You know, and I'm pleased to say they haven't acted on it. Welcome back to Wrestle Me. Wrestle Me Peter.
Wrestle Me Mark.
We are going through Crown Jewel 2019. And we're doing it with a lot of joie de vivre.
And some hula hoops.
And some hula hoops. Delicious big hoops.
God.
Hula hoops are... If I'd have come up with hula hoops, I'd have been like, well, this has made all other crisps redundant.
Yep.
And now, if I was around now, I'd be like, why do they still make other ones?
Why are they bothering with new stuff? Why are they bothering with those like gourmet ones that are really... brittle,
oh,
and
God.
Oily.
Those wrinkled ones that
Tibbles.
Are like, yeah.
Fuck off.
I'm also over kettle chips.
Yeah, those ones, it's just too kind of like brittle and like your tail.
Yeah, and sort of sharp. And they're like, ugh.
Give me some reconstituted potato fluff.
I had Quavers the other day. They've changed that fucking... I haven't had Quavers for probably 15 years.
Prawn flavour now.
Yeah, but the cheese ones are different.
What do you mean they're different?
Well, they used to be all puffed up and like have holes in and stuff.
No.
And these are like flat. Yeah, flat. Yeah. These
maybe
be really
the holes
different.
Are problematic. Sing racism at you.
If you put one on your tongue and you just let it dissolve,
it just shuts the N-word.
There would just be loads of racial abuse coming out of your mouth. You wouldn't be doing it, but
no,
it would be.
They do it in the factory. They used to shout it in.
They did. And the worst thing would be, of course, is because it wasn't actual people of colour's voices, you could tell it was a white person doing it. And so it did look like it was you.
Yeah.
Awful stuff.
Awful crisp.
You know, all about yams. right.
Yams.
Yams. That's the sort of thing that was a thing that you would see at greengrocers in like Harrow.
There'd
be a sort of Indian subcontinent sort of like a owned shop and it would appeal to people who had left that sort of area and there would always be sort of like your grandma would walk past
and go, yams.
Well, she'd sort of go, that's a yam.
That's a yam.
That's
a yam.
And
that.
You'd go, what's
not for us.
What's the green one that's curly? She'd go, I don't know. And she said,
why are those bananas so big and brute? They're plantain, grandma.
Even though uncouth. You'll be talking 2021 Ag. About the curly green thing, she said to me. She said, you still won't know its name. Even though I'd say you see it at least five times every time you go out.
Is it okra?
Okra!
Hey, baby.
Could be. Not sure.
Don't go, yeah, and then go, maybe.
Could it be green
yam? I was on
yam.
Top of the world for a
green yam? I don't know.
Green eggs and yam.
Delicious. Yeah, PC gone mad. welcome back. We are looking at the US champion, AJ Styles versus Humberto Carrillo. No. How did you get on with this match? What did you think about this one?
I was clearly rather distracted because Humberto Carrillo looks a little bit. I'm torn between Josh Hartnett or maybe the goth from The Craft.
Yes,
he's got a very interesting face.
One of those guys that when you see him from a sort of like full shot where he's fully in it, you go, "Good looking young lad." Gets closer and you go, "Ooh, like, ooh monkey." Yeah. like a little monkey man. He had won the shot at this belt on the pre-show where he'd won a battle royale last eliminating Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. they have so few ideas when they turn up to this show that they almost just use stuff from the 1970s.
Right.
They kind of go, we'll throw them all together in a battle royal and that'll make sense of him then having a match later.
Yeah.
And we've used a load of guys there. But what there is really is sort of like hotshotting. There's no long-term booking in these. Mm. There's no progressive storyline. And when they get back to the US, it's slightly like it's never happened. You know, this is all forgotten again. Humberto Carrillo, interesting guy. He'd signed with WWE the year before, and he'd worked in Mexico previously for 6 years.
Yeah.
His real name is Humberto Garza Carrillo. That means it's an odd thing that they decided not to call him Humberto Garza, because he is a third-generation wrestler. His father was Hector Garza. In fact, no, he's the nephew, sorry, of Hector Garza.
Right.
His grandfather was a Mexican luchador called Humberto Garza. He is the cousin of also the WWE wrestler Angel Garza. Mm. So maybe Angel Garza got there first and they were like, well, we can't have two Garzas. But it's just an unusual thing when you do have wrestling lineage. If it was an American wrestler, like a third generation Randy Orton, you would never go, let's call him by his mother's maiden name. And yeah. They choose to do that with the Mexican guys because they're like, Mexican wrestling heritage is not heritage. It is something that does not matter. And now it comes. But I was thinking, it's a real shame for them here, because if you'd have had a wrestler called Garza in front of the Saudi Arabian crowd, they would have been like, fucking yes, this is brilliant. Here he comes. He was drafted from NXT to Raw the same month as he's sort of on this card. So right. He is a very, very fresh talent. And only 24. Mm. But I mean, this match is all right. It didn't really do anything for
me
at all.
Why was Gallows and Anderson there? They didn't do anything.
I know, they're mates of AJ Styles. But again, when you have these bad guys who don't rely on bad guy tactics,
yeah,
what is the point?
Well, they don't really get involved, really. And it's like, well, there's not really a mess of a finish or anything. It's just like,
AJ Styles, he's the bad guy, getting the heat, doesn't cheat at all, wins fair and square, clean, beats his man in the ring, completely can't argue with that.
Yeah.
It's a strange way to start making new stars, is to give them the opportunities, and then the bad guys do just beat them.
Yeah.
They go, I am more senior, and I have outclassed you.
Yeah.
Goodbye. That is the end of the show. Within the year, Humberto Carrillo will be on the C show main event. He'll be losing every Raw match he appears in. It just always seems like squandered opportunities. Worth saying as well, I mean, this is 2019, so only 2 years ago, not a huge amount of time, but doesn't it feel like all these stars that we see in each of these matches, your AJ Styles, your everyone who's like, your Roman Reigns and things, they just seem to have been around for fucking decades. Mm. It just seems such staleness at the top of these cards. It just, disappointing match. I was really thinking that, Humberto Carrillo, this might be a sort of career-making thing. And watching it back, you'd go, wasted opportunity because he's really good. Mm. He's all right. It was okay. I don't want to watch it again. Bad. Pete, now, I don't know if you know the next match.
Oh.
Natalya versus Lacey Evans.
Yes.
I don't know if the commentators mentioned this at any point in the show, but this is the first professional wrestling women's match to take place in Saudi Arabia.
Doesn't fucking look like one.
How was history for you, Pete? Did you enjoy this historic moment that the world cannot stop talking about?
It was so historic. At no point did it really resemble wrestling. The entrances were just a little wave, maybe a little wink at most. I don't think there's even any winks. They can't really do their stuff. They can't really introduce themselves in the way that they usually do. They did a little jog, bit of a wave. They shook hands at the start.
Yep, they have to.
What a bag of wank.
Well, actually,
a historic bag of wank.
The complete opposite of a bag of wank.
No, because they no
do
wanking
not
allowed.
Want you. There is no sense of sexiness.
Is it very Catholic? Are you allowed to have a wank, but you're not allowed to? Catholicism doesn't allow you to spill a seed.
No,
I don't know.
No, neither do I.
As long as you don't have, I thought it was if you don't covet your husband, that man's property.
I mean, most religion isn't knock yourself out. You know, knock one out. Whatever you like.
Chill out.
We are uptight about a lot of things, but the onanism. that's the biblical onan is the spiller of the seed on the ground.
Mm.
I mean, that is bad luck for Onan, isn't it?
The one thing that he was
the
known
one
for,
thing that history remembers.
Because it was about, wasn't he going to impregnate his brother's wife? His brother died.
Right.
His brother, he decided, or it was the godly thing to do, to have sex with the wife, the grieving widow, to make a baby to fulfill God's promise.
Yep.
And at the last minute, he went, fuck that! all over our boobs. None of that was not said in the Bible. He went on the floor and he was cast out because he'd spilt the seed rather than whack it up his brother's widow.
Got you. What grew out of the seed on the floor? Because normally in fairy stories and things, that's what happens.
The devil, I don't know.
A huge beanstalk. And at the top was loads of holy wafers. What happens? I mean, this is, the previous June, so 3 months before, Natalia and Alexa Bliss had made the trip over with the male roster in the hopes of being able to wrestle, but the Saudi authority would not let them compete. So they simply went home. Well, this time, the WWE have managed to get two women wrestlers on the card. They are very, very emotional, the two of them, about being the people who will change Saudi Arabia forever.
Yeah.
They come out wearing full black latex body coverings.
It looks like bin bags.
I thought it was a bit fetishy.
I think bandages would have been. Yes. Like white bandages would have been better.
I would argue there is a thing about, you know, anytime they're saying do not find this sexy, you will go, this is a bit sexy.
Mark, I went and do something I've probably never done to prep for this, because I was out and about and I was like, I can't be watching WWE because I was doing bits and bobs. So I thought I'll watch this match, but I'll listen to what other people said about it on another podcast.
Nice,
right?
Good.
Doesn't matter how offensive we get in this section about, you know, Islam and all, you know, Saudi Arabia and all that stuff, it'll be fine.
Really? Yeah.
Because most wrestling podcasts, very offensive.
Really?
Like, unbelievably offensive. Wow. I'm not going to name and shame. I've forgotten the fucking things. It was very underwhelming.
Give me the general, ballpark we're talking. What are the things?
It was just a lot of, it was just very racist at times. And I think we sail quite close to the wind when we do the Saudi shows. But, you know, they are asking for it because of the things they do.
We are very much regime. Let's make that clear. We support the ordinary Saudis. Let me make that clear. This is sort of odd because, I mean, this is portrayed as being that thing of, you know, Natalia is there welling up and it's a great historic moment and it's
maybe
a great watershed.
Maybe it is, but it's not though, is it?
No, it isn't. I mean,
you've dressed them up like weird robots
in
bin bags.
They are totally kowtowing to a regime that they don't do anywhere else in the world, the WWE. Mm. They don't go, yes, we will change the look of our product to appease your regime.
Yeah.
It's worth saying as well, I mean, Natalia comes down, someone throws a bottle of water and it hits her on the leg.
Right.
This is the reality of people going, no, no, under no circumstances. And they're waving and they obviously go, this is a huge historic moment.
Mm.
It isn't because nothing fucking changes. What this is, of course, is this is, as I mean, for example, the Saudi Arabian Amnesty International researcher Dana Ahmed would call it. She would say it's a prime example of how the Saudi Arabian authorities are using elite sports to try and sportswash their dire human rights record and image internationally. CBS Sports would criticize Michael Cole for his commentary of trying to put over the progressiveness of Saudi Arabia during this match. There was also the thing, Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer, he said, this is not a major cultural breakthrough. He said, this was a continuation of many women performers who had performed in Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia, under that current promotion of sports and entertainment. But it didn't do anything for women in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And that is how it's portrayed. Mm. They're like, oh, thank God that the old way pre this match is now gone.
Mm.
You know, women after this match were given the right to drive. And there was also the sense of having to have a guardian who was appointed, I believe was dropped fairly soon after this, which allowed women not to have to get a guardian's permission to set up their own businesses.
Mm.
That is not because of this match, as much as we'd all like to do.
It's more of due to fucking Jamal Khashoggi in MBS, isn't it? Really, it's kind of trying to.
And also, I mean, I think, you know, it has to be because of world pressure and the openness of things like the internet, of people seeing into regimes, of criticism being able to be heard by the moderate elements, and world support for a change in the way that this country is run.
Yeah.
What you see in this match is it's very basic by design because they don't want to do anything that could be seen as being corrupting.
Yeah.
They don't want to do anything where you have an angle where, you know, someone's face is being squashed by a boob in a side headlock. Mm. Everything is very... The fact they're wearing those T-shirts, their own T-shirts, over their top, that they become... They stop being their own individual characters and they become like the sort of training wrestlers that you have when you're trying out the moves in 2K20. Mm. They want to kind of go... They are as bland and interchangeable as possible, which is sort of the wrong fucking message to be giving when you've got two female performers. They don't do heel or face work here either. Yeah. They just sort of go, this is a wrestling
display.
We're
the nice girls. We're the nice girls.
It's like two women going through practice sequences in a gym rather than an actual competitive wrestling match. I mean, Lacey Evans as well had done a sexy Southern Belle sort of, you know,
she's coming down the, as you go down the ramp. It's like, what? I mean, there's a little bit of a wiggle there.
She pulls it back. Yeah. Each time she does it, you can see her go, shit. Yes. Not going to be sexy and southern and sassy when I'm literally in a prison cell. So she pulls it back each time.
Yeah.
Oddly, I find her when she's doing a sexy Southern Belle. Mm. I've said it before. It just reminds me of Bea Arthur in The Golden Girls. I don't find it sexy, but in this, I was like, she's a very beautiful woman. You know, I really noticed it for the first time. That's not what the Saudi authorities want.
No,
they don't want me to suddenly go, I'm now like this one. I was thinking about what this match should have been, and I was just thinking it should have been Eva Marie taking on Alicia Fox. Just really sort of going, this is what women's wrestling could be. You know, if you'd allow us to do so. They both put their hair in ponytails as well, because that is respectful and proper.
Yeah.
Not having loose hair, like but a loose woman.
But how much kind of conversation there would have been about the hair and the covering of the hair?
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to cover the hair. All right, will you tie it up? All right, okay, how long is the hair going to be? All that kind of, again, you know, like much of this show is just kind of like by committee.
There will have been as well, you know, about, you know, the T-shirts, you can't cut them, they can't crop them. They will have put them on and gone, you need a size up because we want to cover as much as we can. I mean, it's all just, this is not a historic moment. This is a sort of a corporation bowing to exactly the sort of thing that they say by doing this, they're breaking down. Yeah, it's heartbreaking. Mm. I mean, they do both sob in the ring at the end, and they, I mean, good for them. They're not helping. I mean,
I'm glad they're happy about it, but it's not changing anything on the ground, is it?
It doesn't do a thing. Yeah. I mean, it really doesn't.
Then Cole just gets his balls out. It's really weird. Just gets his balls out and goes, look at these balls.
Look at my balls.
No one's ever done this in Riyadh before. Look at my balls. Brings a dog out.
I do look at it and actually, you know, the commentary is sort of gross. It really is. It really is.
Absolute fucking shit.
It's the fact that they know. They know this is all, you know, weird and
mouthpiece
strange. And
bollocks.
It really is, isn't it? It's just gross. But never forget, Pete, there's money. Money. The next match is Team Hogan versus Team Flair. This Team Hogan versus Team Flair was done in 9 years before, 2010, in TNA. They did it on lockdown 2010. Team Hogan was Abyss, Jeff Hardy, Jeff Jarrett, Rob Van Dam, and Hulk Hogan himself against Team Flair, which was Flair, Desmond Wolf, the NXT commentator, Nigel McGuinness, James Storm, Robert Roode, Bobby Roode, and Sting. And I was just thinking, the only person on that show...
Yeah, the big upticks for Sting at the end of that
line. Yeah. Bobby Roode must have been on this. And, you know, he's in that tag team turmoil match. And he would have been going, I was on Team Hulk? Do you remember when I was on TV? You know, no, you brother. No fucking idea. Heartbreaking. You can really see that time has done it, that the very fact that Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, as the team captains of this, they are to the point where they can't do anything physical in the ring, not just with each other, but with any of the competitors in this match. Mm. That's why. It's sad that you just want to see Hogan punch Ric Flair, you know, basically you take someone crap, Baron Corbin, and Baron Corbin after the match starts shouting at Ric Flair and he pushes him because he's so angry that they've lost.
Yeah.
And then Hulk Hogan just comes in and he's like, no, we are in the brotherhood of elderly men. And he would then punch him and Flair will give, you know, Corbin a chop. And I thought about that and I thought, no, they could have done that. They could have done that. It's just that the booking is so bad that something I kind of think of as being like the most obvious thing, they will not have thought of.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have crossed their fucking minds.
They're probably worried about King Corbin being getting in trouble for pretending he's a king. Get out.
Very true. Team Flair in this. Randy Orton, Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin, Shinsuke Nakamura and Bobby Lashley versus Team Hogan, which is Rusev, Ricochet, Shorty G, Ali and Roman Reigns.
Shorty G.
Shorty Jeans was Shorty Jeans. Shorty G is the wrestler Chad Gable,
right,
who was a legitimate, brilliant amateur wrestler. Came in, took to professional wrestling incredibly quickly, and they decided very early on that he had no charisma,
right,
even though he was turning out in NXT these astonishing 5-star matches. They were like, "You need a gimmick," and they went Shorty G. Baron Corbin called him Shorty. Because he is short.
Right.
And that's the important thing. You can't see it on TV, but you can see it if you work with him.
Yeah.
And if you work with him, you go, short. Just get Baron Corbin to call him Shorty G.
Baron Corbin looks short.
You look short.
Shit. This is not the plan, Shorty G.
And Shorty G, Chad Gable, basically doesn't complain about this. He makes the best of it. He still goes out there, does his thing,
yeah,
and they reward him eventually by going, "You can have your real name back. You've worked hard enough now. You can return as a real man."
Right.
Out comes Bobby Lashley at the start with Lana. She is very much covered up. They have brought her all the way from America to stand next to him, not touch him, because the adultery storyline could get them both stoned. So she then has to just walk away. They are delighted to see Lana. They are like, I am, you know, we are all in this room very randy for ladies. Didn't like the two wrestling women.
No, because they were doing too much. They looked like they had a job.
Yeah, didn't like them at all. Also, not feminine. That lady, long flowing dress, demurely covered, beautiful blonde hair, wonderful times. I was thinking, I mean, Ric Flair should be stoned because I'm sure he has had, I'm sure he's talked about having adulterous liaisons.
Yeah.
I read Linda Hogan's book that she wrote, I would say 4 months after her divorce from Hulk Hogan.
Okay, yeah.
If you want to know the full names of everyone that Hulk Hogan had affairs with,
that is the great book
for it. It's not a greatly happy book, but clearly she started writing it when things were bad.
Mm.
And then at the end, as they're going through the divorce thing, he went, do you know what? Let's not have a bad divorce. Let's be friends. And she went, I was amazed. And, you know, that's really good. And it's like everything that's went before it, you're like, you maybe should have thought, now I won't publish this. It's very cool. But Hulk Hogan, what I'm saying, he should be stoned.
Right. Everyone should be stoned.
I'm looking through. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 10 people there. None of them are on record as having affairs, but I should think at least a quarter to a third should be stoned.
Oh yeah, I think Nakamura is he's just disgusting looking. He's like a space.
We're not accusing him of adultery.
Beast. No,
we just think he should be stoned for being a space beast.
It's a space beast. He's Michael Jackson from space. It's disgusting, but I can't stop looking at
that
him.
Thing of
I think
everyone,
he's wonderful.
Everyone in the front row having to run to just go, look, we just need to make one more law. Right? We need
whatever
to
that is,
now.
None of that.
Yeah, I've taken
that's a, something new and I've I don't ta- like it.
I've taken a photo on my camera. Right? this is not that creepypasta fucking thing. This is real, mate. I've seen it and it's out there still. We need a rule now.
What that? We've I know Cthulhu. Move it in front of Cthulhu.
What's that thing that... people's kids were sending around and it was saying, kill yourself.
Oh, Slender Man.
No, not Slender Man.
Oh,
it was like
not?
A lady thing with black hair, sort of like across between the ring and a sort of duck face.
Okay.
It does shit me up.
Was it the Indian lady who tried to look like the actor?
It looked a bit like that, but it was an artificial thing that had been created. But it would basically say, hey kids, let's play suicide games or something.
Oh, right, yeah.
But that's what he looks like. Right. That's what he looks like. And look, it needs to stop. Hogan comes out with Jimmy Hart. No need for Jimmy Hart to be there. This is Team Hogan versus Team Flair. Jimmy Hart has very much got himself a free holiday.
Yes.
Hogan, there is something about Hulk Hogan that I sort of go, it's quite good to be his friend. He seems to be one of those guys who's like, A, if he says, I want him to come with me, they go, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, that's no problem. It's an extra, 6 grand, fine. But he seems to be like, I like having my mates around me.
Yes.
And I do like the fact that Jimmy Hart is always there. He's like, you know, there's no need for Jimmy Hart to be there. He doesn't add anything to it.
No.
The people in Saudi are not like, well, that was a bonus. He's just like, I will come out with my mate Jimmy Hart.
He's one of those kind of like past faces from wrestling past who does resemble what he resembled back in the day.
Yeah,
so he does kind of get away with it a little bit for me, because you go, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
But like, he's exactly the same as he looked like in the 80s.
He is. When we, Alex and I were backstage at WrestleMania 25, walking through before the show started, he was the only person backstage. He had a cup of coffee, I think a donut, and he was just saying hello to everyone who walked past. I mean, just, you know, the guy is, you can't knock him. I'm glad he's still out there, and you're absolutely right. He does look in good.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shape. More I think about Jimmy Hart, the more I'm sort of beginning to adore him. I like the fact he's still going. He loves this, you know. And obviously, you know, people like him because he's always there.
Yeah.
You know. Ricochet,
Jimmy Hart and Hulk Hogan, didn't they get into trouble in Iceland before this match?
Oh,
on
yes.
On the plane. Remember, their plane's brakes broke.
That's right. Yes. Their private jet had to do an emergency stop, I believe, in Iceland.
So I think...
They were picked up by Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar's plane had to do a stop to pick up Hulk Hogan.
7 hours of these guys. Fucking cunt.
You're welcome on the plane, but if either of you talk, the plane stops and you get out.
I've got a megaphone!
I'm going to shout it to the engines.
Okay, Daddy.
Right. That is two words. That is two words. You only needed to use one. You could have said, okay, stop the plane. Just terrifying.
Are you okay to use the emergency exits? Are you kind of fit and can you stand up and go, okay, yeah, I can. Get off.
I like the idea as well that Brock Lesnar, even though it's his private jet, he still flies in cargo like the gorilla in Trading Places. He's in the back in a sort of padded cage.
I will not have talking.
Ricochet comes out. He's got his superhero suit on.
He's now a superhero.
Yeah, like an unmasked masked wrestler.
Oh, yes.
A little Power Ranger-y, isn't it? And they slightly do that when they go, he's a high flyer. They all go, he's like a real life superhero, isn't he? And it's just... Again, it's sort of a bit limiting, the whole thing. He now wrestles, I think at the moment he's wrestling in jeans.
Right.
I mean he's that superhero thing did not last. It's a bit Jushin Liger-y to do, but the whole point of Jushin Liger is it works because he's also got the mask on.
Yes.
And that's a complete presentation.
And it's like the 70s in Japan. Yeah. That's what his look was, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's space, and this is just like... bloke in a weird sort of like, I mean, it's almost like a Christmas onesie, you know, just, if it looks like a onesie, don't fucking wear it for wrestling. It's awful.
Unless you're a woman in Saudi Arabia.
Yes. Everyone here is good in the ring. Everyone, no one feels like a sort of major A-list star, with the exception of obviously Roman Reigns. Even like Orton and Nakamura seem oddly unimportant because they are stuck in a match that means nothing. Mm. You know, this sort of, they talk about this historic five-man tag team match. And, you know, when you've got people of varying, if you like, stature within the company in it, it just is forgettable. The whole thing, Nakamura doesn't seem like a bigger star from being in it.
Mm.
Orton feels oddly unimportant. And it also made me realise that last week on WWE programming, Shinsuke Nakamura stole Baron Corbin's crown. And I was looking at this and going, that's 2 years ago. And we've still got Corbin with his crown and Nakamura's in the ring. And I was just like,
just chewing on it.
This is stuck in limbo. It really is sort of odd. I looked at it as well and I was like, oh, one of the reasons this doesn't work is they've done the thing of mixing up heels. He stole her crown. Stole a crown, I know.
And he's not very good at speaking, so he's just been like,
What are you?
Nah. You know, in Earth, you call it a monkey. Well, where I am from.
Osaka, Japan.
Like skeleton monkey. like surfing.
It's just unpredictable, surfing. He does.
I've got to put out my surfboard.
I would not want to see that soaring towards me on a wave. It's like something from the deep.
Oh, coming.
I was watching this. I was going, one of the reasons I don't like this is I'm sort of going, they've mixed up heels and faces, and so that, you know, there's some good guys with some bad guys. And I was like, and that's why it's sort of. And I was like, no, they fucking haven't. I was like, everyone here is a babyface or a heel at the time. The way they perform doesn't give you any indication into that. None of them are wrestling like bullies. None of them are wrestling like cheats.
Mm.
You know, that bad crowd aren't mocking anyone or anything. So they're all just wrestling the same. Baron Corbin is the only one who's a bit like a heel.
Mm.
But that's because people boo when he's in the ring because no one likes him. No one wants to see him perform. Beyond the entrances, and I did say this in another episode, nobody cares about the matches particularly.
Mm.
Ricochet does a set of high-flying moves against Drew McIntyre in one period, which is just, you know, phenomenally athletic, just incredibly good. It's a springboard top rope moonsault, lands on him, and he looks to the crowd to sort of go, now is your time to applaud, you know. That was spectacular. And he gets nothing. Nothing at all.
Mm.
Randy Orton, then 30 seconds later, just pulls a pose. And the crowd, they go bananas. And it's not really about wrestling anymore, is it? It's about stars. And I felt, when I was watching that thing with Ricochet, I was thinking, it's a weird foreshadowing, this crowd, for 6 months later, when there will be no crowds, when you'll be in the pandemic era. And you can see bits of it here where you're like, they're taking it for granted that, you know, they're wrestling in front of a bad crowd and they're like, oh, fuck, this is rubbish. Mm. Just you wait. Just you wait. Ricochet, you will be doing this on a nightly basis to that noise and it will last for 2 years, you know. And the crowd here do love Reigns and they love him unironically. You get a glimpse into what would have happened if America had accepted Roman Reigns as the big super babyface.
Yeah.
Everything he does, this crowd is just like, that is exactly what we want to see. It's Hogan-esque.
Yeah.
And it's just odd to see that sort of, no one else can get a reaction apart from the guy who, you know, he gets the huge reaction and back. He must have been going, I love that crowd. And everyone else was like, there was shit. And he was going, no, they were the best crowd I've ever had. And everyone else going, they were silent. They go, for you, maybe.
They're not made up their minds about me.
Yeah. And you look, there's some great bits. I mean, Drew McIntyre, you've got five people here who are top of the card. And if they're not top of the card with your Ricochets and your Arlies, they are great in-ring performers.
Mm.
Drew McIntyre does a claymore kick on Ricochet and he does a 360. Lands on his face. It's brilliant. To silence, that's what I'm saying. But it looks great. And Rusev is good here. He's playing furious Rusev, the wronged man against Bobby Lashley. And by the time they get into the ring, he looks great at this period. He looks like sort of if Rick Rude had a sort of like cousin. He's got that sort of, he's not as in shape, but he's got a sort of delightful, swarthy, sexual sort of like nature. Nice sort of tash as well. And he just connects with the crowd because what he has is passion.
Mm.
And again, when I talk about like the blanding that I feel this event is, what it lacks is passion. It lacks people going, I'm going to go out to win this and I'm going to be a monster. And Rusev in this bit brings passion. Mm. And it's such a the crowd come alive, whether they know why he's angry or not. Just imagine it's heavily censored in Saudi Arabia. He is so good. And it just reminds you that if you can fake that passion in wrestling, 50% of the work is already done. You cut after this match, which Roman Reigns gets a spear on Randy Orton. Slightly surprising decision for him to get pinned.
Mm.
You'd have thought that they would have gone with anyone else, but no. you get an ad for WrestleMania 36. And what they don't realise, of course, is, you know, what the world is waiting for is a vaccine. And it's so exciting to see those events that didn't happen that you go, it is, I suppose there's not any other thing that we watch on telly that reacts to current events in the same way that wrestling does, that you watch, you know, after the event.
Mm.
So watching all of that build up to COVID that they don't know is around the corner.
Yeah.
I'm really fascinated.
Well, you rarely sort of see an advert for, like, you know, we're not going to see an advert for World Cup 22.
No.
World Cup 23, World Cup 24.
No. No.
Whenever also, it's going to be.
I mean, I suppose, you know, what would have been World Cup 2020, they wouldn't have been talking about what was going to happen next year.
Yes, exactly.
Wrestling always does.
Always does.
And so that's the sort of, like, you know.
They do have a big run up for tickets, aren't they, really?
They do,
like,
yeah.
So you can buy your tickets now. Yeah, I might be dead by then.
WrestleMania tickets, I mean, traditionally have gone on sale at the previous year's WrestleMania. Mm. That's when they go, you can get your tickets now. They announce where the venue is on that WrestleMania, and then it's, you know,
2 days after WrestleMania weekend, you're just absolutely sick of my wrestling. You'd never buy them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, that is true. That is incredibly true. I was just thinking about our live show, which is coming up,
right,
in September, and I was thinking, would it be good if we'd have said last time tickets are on sale when it had ended? Would people have bought tickets? I don't think so.
In the middle, in the intermission.
Yes. The Universal Champion Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt is the main event of the evening. It's a match that can't be stopped for any reason, Pete.
Why?
Let me tell you, I stopped this match.
I can't enjoy this if I can't see it, Mark.
Oh,
and I frequently couldn't see what was going on.
This is magical into how bad it is. You would work, if you were working for another company, like you were working for, what's the next company? AEW.
Mm.
And you'd managed to get a WWE job and you went, I'm going to do industrial espionage and I'm also going to do some spoilering.
Yeah.
And I'm going to convince them to go in the wrong direction. Uh-huh. you couldn't do any better than this. This was the latest in a series between two men who somehow brought out the worst in each other. they might be each other's, Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt, they might be each other's career worst opponent.
Right.
Everything that they did together, with all of this sort of, because it's the main event, all of this overthinking and all of this razzmatazz and all of this creativity, they created cat shit every time. Just like alchemists looking for gold. And each time they do it, they get further and further away. And
into a big lump of cat shit.
Yeah, different worst type of cat shit. And the first one is cat shit. And the second one is a lot of cat shit.
Yeah.
Then the third one is sort of like really wet cat shit. The fourth one is dense, heavy, and sort of like, you know, just it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. The decision as well after Hell in a Cell, which was the pay-per-view before, they'd had the main event and they'd filmed the whole main event in red light. So the only two colours you can see on television, which is a visual medium and has all the colours you can imagine, they limit it to two. They just go, let's have black and red.
How do colourblind people, can colourblind people see this?
I wish I was colourblind. I would have paid money to be colourblind. I mean, I cannot understand why you make your product look worse by 20 times and you do it once and then someone goes, you know, universally across the board, people hate
everyone it. Hated.
And you go, well, we'll do it again. Well, we'll do it again.
Look, I'm not strongly against it as you, but I'm still sort of like, it's interesting because it's a difficult watch at the best of times.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, outcomes are smiling, Joker-esque, pig demon, what he is. He's carrying his lantern, which is a man's head.
Yeah.
Little bit of criticism at the time due to the dismembering of the journalist, Jamal Khashoggi.
Yeah.
That was seen as being, it's also, you know, Saudi Arabia is a place where beheadings are still carried out.
Yep.
I was reading actually about expats used to call the square where it happens Chop Chop Square.
Right.
And I had a quick look at a tourist guide that was talking about this particular square.
Mm.
And it said, if you are a tourist and you see a crowd forming about 9 a.m, they said, get out of the square.
Right.
Because otherwise, what happens is the local police will take you and they will drag you to the front and they will stay there to make you watch the beheading.
Right.
And it's seen as being a bit of public relations exercise where they go, look how we deal with our criminals in Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
But if you find yourself there, you will be watching a beheading and you will not be able to just get away.
Right.
And there is that thing about when you have even that limited amount of knowledge of Saudi Arabia, you might go, do you know what? I might keep my beheading lantern.
Yeah, bring the other one.
Yeah, I've got one that's a big firefly, and the light is its bum. That'd be nice. Let's have that one. It goes straight into red, of course, and I do sort of think, you know, if the shittest wrestling promotion in the world presented its matches in red and black, people would go, well, why on earth would I watch that? This is the biggest wrestling company in the world, has been for the last 40 years. It is a $1 billion company, and they put on something that if anyone else did, you would go, what a terrible creative decision. That is, you know, just shows that they're run by people who don't know what they're doing. Mm. It's so, so bad. The light is just the rotten cherry on top of this awful, abominable trifle. The matches just get worse every single time Seth Rollins and The Fiend have them. It's almost, again, the commentators, rather than going, who is going to win the wrestling match? Mm. They are saying lines like, Rollins trying to eradicate a toxic existence from his life. And then he's going to have to go to a dark, dark place tonight to be, you know, all of this fucking thing. It boils down to the weakest thing of all, which is mind games.
Yeah.
You know, oh, he's playing his mind games. You know, how
it's
can
really
he beat
got inside his head?
Well, Rollins is going to have to find a different part of himself to beat his mind games. All of this shit that just is, they think is cutting edge television.
Yeah.
They think it's very clever and very mature.
15 years ago, you had a woman with like a locked in syndrome watching her husband get off with a young woman.
Yes. Yeah. Mark Henry giving, you know, or Mae Young giving birth to a hand, yes. You know, at least stuff like that was stupid, absurd, funny, and crucially didn't go on pay-per-view after pay-per-view after pay-per-view.
Yeah.
We didn't watch Mae Young, like, you know, birthing the hand over a series of 9 months. And that's what this does. It just, like any of these things, like your Papa Shango stuff, it can be bad. So long as it's brief, yeah, you'll remember it fondly. Mm. And this stuff, people aren't going to ever remember it fondly.
No.
If you watched this and you didn't, you know, there'll come a point where someone who's into wrestling watches this, not knowing who The Fiend is, not knowing who Seth Rollins is, and they are going to watch this and go, what's happened to the lights? Who are these? And how did they put this out? Why can't we have a wrestling match? That's what's on the marquee. It just goes on forever. I mean, The Fiend, when they show those little vignettes of him as well, where he's taunting Seth Rollins from his Firefly funhouse, it looks like sort of like American 1980s public access broadcasting, which we didn't really have here. And he looks like a bloke who's arguing for the age of consent to be lowered to like 5. And all he does to get his matches, these big matches, and it's for some reason, he'll just sort of go, hey, you know, welcome to Firefly Funhouse. What do you think about Seth Rollins' Porky Dog or whatever the puppets are? And he'll go, yeah, Seth Rollins, what a fraud, Seth Rollins. And then it cuts to Seth Rollins, who is supposed to be an adult, who is a sportsman, who's sitting there and going, it's really got under my skin. I'm gonna go there and I'm going to fucking kill him. You know,
I'm going to burn down a table on a set.
Yes, which he does. Burning it down, and it's all that. That, again, is seen as going, that is a wonderful end to this episode of SmackDown. How are we going to top that next week? And then maybe have a wrestling match. I don't. Oh, mate. There is also no logic in this. So there's a bit where The Fiend at the end goes into a load of flight cases.
Yes.
Flight cases, of course, they detonate when you touch them. It's one of the famous things about them.
Whenever you see them in the set, you go, someone's going to do something there.
Completely.
Because it's a set.
Yeah.
Flight cases live behind the set.
Exactly.
They don't live in front of the set.
Nobody.
It doesn't make it look more like a set if you put flight cases there.
No. You've never been to a gig where they've gone, we've got all the stuff out. Now should we put the flight cases out the front as well? No. We don't need to. But no. These obviously falls on them and they blow up.
Yes.
They detonate. Mm.
Like all good flight cases.
Like all good flight cases. We're very proud of our reputation. Buy one of our flight cases and immediately detonate the second you get in a plane.
Is that
a
Pelly case?
The Fiend goes off. Bang. Mm. Seth Rollins stands up like, oh my God, he's dead. And then suddenly The Fiend rises behind him.
Oh, no.
And then he just does his moves on Seth Rollins. Yeah. Pins him and wins the Universal title. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing about this is, what is the fucking Fiend's deal?
Why does The Fiend want the Universal title? He just hates Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Why does he care?
Seth Rollins doesn't want the Universal Championship. He wants to defeat his demons, i.e. The Fiend.
Yeah.
So the title, it just shouldn't really exist.
Yeah, the title doesn't exist. And The Fiend wins it. And I was a bit like, so he doesn't like conform to the logic of he gets blown up and he's like, oh, actually, that doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
And then he goes, but I will abide by the rule where I get a 3 count. For some reason, that rule I am bothered with and I will do that one. But things like, you know, being injured. No, I don't do that. I mean, it's just. But the problem with the logic of the fiend is, if you're going to sort of go, he's not human and he's supernatural, then you just, I mean, why not just have, you know, I don't know, fucking Seth Rollins at the start, just turn up and go, I've gone to therapy. I'm the fiend inside Seth Rollins, so I've got the belt now. Yes. Oh, look, I've just eaten all of Ali's blood and he can never appear on television again. You know, just, you can do anything and that ruins it entirely. That stops it being a sport and that makes it just into something chaotic that a 9-year-old is telling you. You know, it just doesn't make any fucking sense at all. I remember watching this at the time. And I thought it was as bad as anything WWE have ever put on as a main event. In recent years, this now seems like what they do quite a lot.
Right.
They get confused. They do stuff that's junk. They aren't paying attention to the stuff that I think most fans want to see. They persevere with this thing, thinking we can get somewhere with this and it will really click. And it never does. And you're seeing more and more booking that's done, which is just stupid and turning off, if you like, people who love wrestling per se. Dangerous time to be doing it when you've got AEW and other alternatives, you know, beginning to become viable.
Yeah.
It seems like that could be a big fucking mistake. But
this is all writing, you know, this is all kind of writers just going.
Yeah.
Going wild.
And I think it's also Vince McMahon just constantly going, you know, he has this big thing about, we aren't a wrestling company, we're an entertainment company. And so there's the idea that, for example, your girlfriend will go, I don't like wrestling, but she'll see The Fiend and go, I'm intrigued to see what happens next. This is like the Saw films, which of course everyone's so keen on. You know, it's just seems a bit misguided to me, but you know, there we are. That is the end of Crown Jewel. All that remains is to hold 200 wrestlers hostage. So everyone gets on the plane afterwards on the flight back to the US. They had a major delay on the tarmac, and WWE would later attribute the delay to aircraft problems, including mechanical issues.
Yeah.
Sort of thing you say if you were trying to sort of go,
how would they say aircraft issues?
Mechanical problems. Yeah, that would be it. The plane's owner, Atlas Air, they actually said, yes, we have to make repairs and things. But everyone got very suspicious on the plane about what was going on. The first person to actually break the silence was the former WWE commentator, Hugo Savinovich, who had been told by some of the wrestlers who were on the plane that they'd been held by Saudi Arabia.
Right.
That men, the police and army with guns had surrounded the plane. What Savinovich said had happened was that Saudi Arabia had welched and failed to pay Vince McMahon millions of dollars for the previous Saudi shows. The money hadn't appeared. So on this one, Vince McMahon was in Saudi. He had personally stopped the television feed that was going out in Saudi Arabia of Crown Jewel. So there was a point where if you were watching in Saudi Arabia, Crown Jewel stopped. And he said he wouldn't turn the feed back on until he'd been paid his money by the Saudi Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman.
Right.
I mean, credit to Vince.
It's balls, isn't it?
You could talk a lot about, you know, what he's like as a businessman, but I don't think you could say he's a shrinking violet, he's a coward. And he's always said he wouldn't do anything that his wrestlers, you know, that he would ask a wrestler to do. He wouldn't ask a wrestler, sorry, to do anything that he wouldn't himself do. There is a thing there where you're in Saudi Arabia and you go, and now I am going to play hardball.
Yeah, I mean, he is a big friend to the Republican Party as well. So you imagine that he wouldn't take very long for that to be resolved.
They are a regime who killed Jamal Khashoggi and everybody knew it.
Yeah, but he's very much a... You know, he was a Turkish journalist who criticised MBS and obviously...
Just wants his money. Billionaires respect billionaires, don't they? Talent sees talent, you know? WWE was paid, it was reported by Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer. They were paid $60 million 2 hours before Crown Jewel took place.
Right.
So I think it was a case of there was brinkmanship going on and that money was finally paid. But... the Saudis didn't like the way this had gone down. So what happened is 20 WWE employees, which included 12 wrestlers, they left Saudi Arabia on private jets before anything happened. They included Vince McMahon, Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and Tyson Fury. Everybody else was left behind on a commercial airline. 200 employees in total, all the other wrestlers and a load of backstage staff. They were held by military police on the tarmac for 24 hours before the plane left. They were, a lot of wrestlers, very upset that Vince and the big stars had got out.
Yeah.
And that they'd all been left in a foreign country under military guard. This is, of course, a debate that they are not part of. You know, they don't see, if you like, any of that huge amount of money. This is a dispute between two big billionaires, and they have been caught in the crossfire of it. What happened, though, is the Saudis did it, and it stopped all of those wrestlers getting back for Friday Night SmackDown in Buffalo, New York, which was taking place on the Friday night. What happened then is they went, shit, we've got to do something. We've got no wrestlers. And so they immediately got everyone from NXT and put them on that show. And it was one of the best shows in living memory. This is
thanks, Saudi Arabia.
Exactly the thing that the Crown Jewels show lacked, which was a load of people being given an opportunity and going, now is my time to show off, to shine, to show how much I want it. Mm. And it became one of the best SmackDown shows, I think, in probably the last 20 years.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's been running 20 years. That actually did build to the Survivor Series, which is a pay-per-view that happened a couple of weeks after this. And that had always planned to be NXT versus SmackDown versus Raw. Mm. But this SmackDown set it up to the point that that pay-per-view then became one of the best pay-per-views probably in the last 5-10 years. Mm. Really, really strong show.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for everyone being held hostage.
I like really that a good. Lot. Brilliant.
Yeah, really, really good. So that is the story of Crown Jewel 29.
We got one episode of WWE pay-per-view that was good, and it was all because they were taken hostage.
It was. I mean, I would like to see more of that happen. I'd like to see more weird stories. It is funny that you'd sort of go, you know, you'd been in a nursing home in 20 years' time, and you'd be like, so what sort of life did you lead, Luke, Mr. Gallows? And he'd go, well, I used to sort of like dress up as the warlord. I looked like human corn oil. I was best friends with AJ Styles. I was held hostage once. I performed in front of Crown Prince Bin Sar. You know, all of this stuff that you just go, that is an exciting life to have.
But in an era where everything's very overwritten and overwrought and sort of difficult to watch, the only interesting stuff happens when something stupid, like when a mechanical failure, let's say, of that system breaks down.
Yeah, completely. It's always good. And look, you know, that was the show. You know, let us tip our hats to Natalya and Lacey Evans, because they, you know, if they'd have been around, for example, in Gilead, things could have been very, very different for all of the handmaids. But they were the first two women to perform in Gilead, but it didn't make any difference at all.
No.
In fact, one of them had their eye removed and the other was hung from the bridge. Can you tell if the new series of The Handmaid's Tale is on all
it's
four
on your
yet,
telly, mate? Right, okay, good.
Yeah, anyway, don't miss my Handmaid's Tale quiz night. It's going to be a lot of fun. But please, no women. WrestleMe!
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.